Hello, and welcome to the Daydream Believers podcast. I'm your host, Liz Chiarelli. Here, you'll find a monthly dose of insight to help keep you motivated, inspired, and informed so you can continue working towards your dreams. We cover a variety of topics from mindset to health to strategy so you can become the person you need to be in order to turn your dreams into reality. Every now and then, we'll also bring in some music artists to showcase some of the finest electronic music out there. Thanks for listening, and remember to head to lizchiarelli.com to download a free morning motivation that'll guarantee you start each day strong and stay on the path to success. Now, on to the show. Hello, Liz here, and welcome to another episode of the Daydream Believers podcast. On this episode, the wise and wonderful D. Grant Smith took the time out of his busy schedule to sit down with me and chat about how to overcome fears and challenges. It was an amazing exchange, during which we addressed the questions submitted by members of my coaching community. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for coming here and doing this workshop for the Dreamers. I'm really excited for this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So you're doing some amazing work helping people learn how to cultivate success through building relationships, which I love. And the focus of a lot of your work now is to help people overcome their fears so that they can become the all-stars that they're destined to be. So would you tell us a little bit about how you're going about doing this?
Well, without getting into too many details, I had an experience last year that was something I didn't see coming, and it ended up putting me face to face with my two worst fears in the world, and stuff that I thought was going to just break me. And in a way, it set me back a little bit for a period of time. My work has been in coaching and consulting and mentoring musicians and how to build better relationships with their fan base, and also with how to reach out to media. One of the main things I guess most people know me for is I do a lot of stuff in showing people how to connect with like independent media, like an indie radio and blogs and podcasts and stuff. And I'm a music curator. I host a radio show and a podcast, and I get a lot of music submissions from people that they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping it sticks, and then it doesn't, and they get pissed off at us because it's our fault that they didn't actually, you know, care enough to try to build a relationship. So I've been spending probably the past 15 years or so, close to that, helping musicians build relationships with people. And when I went through this very difficult period of time last year, it really hit my confidence level in a really profound way. And I didn't stop doing the radio show, but I did stop doing as much of the coaching stuff because I didn't feel the confidence in myself to be able to do this thing. And I went through this process of healing and restoration and facing the things that I was afraid. I mean, I had to live with the fears. It was happening to me in real life. But I had to decide who I wanted to be and whether or not I was going to let this experience destroy me, or whether or not I was going to allow myself to learn lessons from it and heal and become a better person. And so I went through this journey, and at the same time, I was trying to write a book about some stuff that I'd learned several years ago, and I found that the experience that I was having and the book that I was trying to write were actually the same thing. And so I wrote the book, which will come out later this year. It's called Be Solid: How to Go Through Hell and Come Out Whole. And basically, my kind of pivot, for lack of a better term, into the work that I'm doing now, and the reason why a lot of my focus has shifted from just relationship building to overcoming fears and dealing with personal loss and struggles is I went through this really difficult journey and I came out on the other side whole. And I want to show other people how to do that too. And I realized that oftentimes, actually it's probably 100% of the time, the things that we fear the most are beliefs that we have in our heads. And then when those beliefs come into reality, then we think that that is the fear was true versus the fear being the thing that kind of manifested itself because of the way that we were operating things. And there's ways that you can not only overcome the fear, but move so far past it that it never bothers you again because you're a different kind of person. And so it's taking me a long time to say all this stuff, and I apologize for that, but the roundabout for why it is that I do what I do. And you and I have been talking about fears and overcoming them and getting through the mindsets and going through the journey and dealing with the hard stuff so that we can be full, whole, alive, solid people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen to that. Actually, there's a quote that's been coming up for me a lot recently by Thomas Edison, and that is, if we just did the things that we were capable of, we would literally astound ourselves. And now it's kind of like, actually, yeah, like, what am I capable of? Like, how far can I push this ability? Mm. And it's literally, it's your mindset. You know, so much of it is, which is again something that we kind of been talking about as well. Like, when we change our beliefs, mostly about ourselves, it just changes everything. And like you say, it's just a belief that we have, but it can be so crippling. And at the same, if we just flip that around, it can propel us forward. Like we've got a rocket behind us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Wayne Dyer has a quote that I use all the time. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And he's got a whole methodology and teaching built around this, but it's about, instead of like we all face resistant thoughts that tell us who we're not, or that stuff that we want is impossible, or that, you know, the way that you look at your life, if you're looking at the things that are and you don't like the things that are and you focus on that, then you build these resistant thoughts to ever having anything that's different. And when you change that belief, you change that focus, then those things that you were focusing on and the things that you want, all that stuff changes. And it's all about getting all this stuff up here right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And on that note, actually, I think it would be quite poignant to move on to a couple of questions that a couple of the dreamers has sent in. One is from Reed, and he says that he'd like to learn solid strategies for protecting himself against the negativity of others. He says whilst he feels confident in his vision, a constant barrage of outside naysayers can take its toll.
Reed, I feel that pain, and I understand exactly where you're coming from. For me, a lot of this has to do with the atmosphere that you surround yourself with, and if you've found or you're discovering that some of the people in your atmosphere are not edifying you, and they're not encouraging you, and they're not empowering you, but what they're doing is doubting who you are, doubting what you're capable of, and they're expressing that doubt, and that creates this this cloud of air, for lack of a better term. So there's a great book out right now by a guy named Benjamin Hardy, who's he's a psychologist, I think, but he's written this book called Willpower Is Not the Way, and he's basically addressing this idea that a lot of people in the entrepreneurial world have, that you have to will yourself into success. You have to decide every single day that you are going to use your willpower, and that's going to be the fuel that pushes you forward and makes you successful. And his research and his study of different successful people have found that yes, you have to have drive. That's important. You can't be lazy. But the actual thing that makes the most successful people successful is who they surround themselves with and what their atmosphere is, what their environment is. And if you're in a negative environment or a negative atmosphere and you're surrounded by negative people who are constantly spouting negative things, it creates in you basically what secondhand smoke does, or extreme levels of smog and pollution. Like, you know, if you were to take somebody off of the beach in Belize and do a lung test on them versus somebody that has grown up and spent the same amount of time on Earth but lived in Hong Kong, their lungs are going to look dark and nasty because all they've done is breathe smog and terrible fumes that's in the atmosphere. Whether they live next to a factory or not doesn't matter. That's their atmosphere versus somebody that's lived on a beach where all they've had is sea breeze and clean air. Your lungs are going to be different, and your mind is the same way when you surround yourself with people that operate from a negative mindset or are operating out of their own personal fears, but they're projecting that stuff onto other people. And so if in your work you have confidence in what you do because you believe in yourself and you have that inner strength and you have that inner willpower, and that's awesome, hold on to that, don't let anybody take that away from you. But if you're mindful of the fact that you have peers, which means people in your circle, that are not encouraging you, edifying you, and if they're giving critique, it's not in a positive way of how you could be better, but it's something that's tearing you down, you've got to separate yourself out from that, because that's putting yourself in a smoggy, environmentally polluted, emotionally and cognitively polluted place that will have a negative impact on you. And you can tell it's having a negative impact on you because you're asking this question. It's impacting the way that you see yourself, and you want to figure out, like, how do I get over the negativity of other people? You do that by separating yourself from them. And if you're already thinking, but they're my good friends, I don't want to not be their friend anymore, I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm telling you not to hang out with them and not to as much. And I'm also telling you this is something that is kind of a entrepreneurial business truth. You'll find a lot of like business guru people. Zig Ziglar talks about it. Grant Cardone talks about it. Actually, Wayne Dyer talks about it too. And he's more of a self-help expert. I think Elon Musk talks about this too. But it is, you are the sum. You're either the sum or you're the median of the five people you spend the most time with. And from a business standpoint, they look at that think of the five people you spend the most time with. And whatever their income is, your income is going to be in the middle of that somewhere. And if you want to be somebody that makes more money, you need to find people that are more successful and spend more time with them, because that's going to impact the way that you operate. And the same is true with your relationships, and the same is true about the way about belief systems. There are people that have prosperous, abundant, successful belief systems, and everything they do shines and is gold and works. It's a belief system. And there's people that have negative belief systems. And when you surround yourself, or you have in your inner circle, the five people you spend a lot of time with, you have people that have very negative inner beliefs and inner mantras and inner ways of operating. And it's always negative, and it's always fearful, and it's always never going to work, and it's never going to be good enough, and people aren't going to accept it. When this is the reality in the world that you live in, and you're surrounded with these people, it rubs off on you, and it has a negative effect. So there, I did the same thing, man, because I had to take a look at the people I was spending the most time with and evaluate whether or not it was healthy for me to be spending time with them. And I still love them, but I don't see them as much because I can't. I can't do that. I have to love myself enough to surround myself with good, wonderful, edifying, encouraging, empowering, loving people. And you have to do the same thing. We all have to do the same thing. And it's a tough thing, especially if some of these people are people in your family. And you want to spend time with them because they're your family, but like all they ever do is complain about stuff. That complaint rubs, that negative mindset rubs off. It creates an atmosphere that negatively impacts you. And so one of the big things that you can do, Reed, is to look at your inner circle, look at the people you're spending the most time with, look at the people whose opinions matter the most to you. And if those opinions and those people are not encouraging, loving, edifying, empowering people, then you have to decide how much you want that in your life. And that's a really tough decision to make. I'm not trying to make light of that at all. It's a tough decision to make, but you get to decide the people that you let into your inner circle. And you get to decide the type of atmosphere that you surround yourself in. You get to decide whether or not you want to live in the proverbial atmospheric beach where you always feel good because you're around awesome people, or in the proverbial smog-filled, negative, fearful, everything's always going wrong, nothing's ever right, nobody's ever happy, smog-filled Hong Kong. For like, I don't mean to hate on Hong Kong, but I think I made the point here. But so that's one thing. And the second thing is, you decide who you're going to be, what kind of person you're going to be. Love yourself at all times. There's a mantra that you can repeat over and over again. This is something I've been doing for the past 10 months and has changed everything. I will love and respect myself at all times. Mm. And if and when you hear somebody say something to you that is not loving and not respectful, you get to decide whether or not you let that into your head and whether or not you let that into your heart, or whether or not you have somewhat of a shield where that stuff bounces off. I think we have the power to be, if we decide to be, we have the power to be Superman and not mm-hmm. let negative stuff come in and penetrate our heart and impact us in ways that we can be bulletproof in that sense, where it doesn't really matter, because I get to decide the people whose voices matter to me, and you get to decide the people whose voices matter to you. And that's only a decision that you can make. I can't tell you to listen to this person or not listen to that person. That's not my, I don't have that power. I don't have that, I don't have that honor. I don't want that honor. Only you have that power, because it's you. And when you decide who you are and you decide that you love yourself, I've decided that I'm a solid person. And I made that decision while I was going through hell. And I did not feel solid at all. But I decided I want to be a solid person. I want to be love at all times, so that it doesn't matter whether or not somebody else is loving towards me. I'm this way no matter what. And that's a decision that I had to make. And once I made that decision, more hell broke out to challenge that decision. But I had to decide, am I going to be this person or not? And so surround yourself with loving, affirming, edifying, and encouraging people. And your day-to-day interactions, you will feel more inspired. You will feel more encouraged. It will be easier for you to move forward with what you do. But then when you do face negativity and you deal with people, or you do deal with inner dialogues that are not always positive, you decide who you're going to listen to, what kind of person you're going to be, and then be that.
Yeah. Super powerful stuff. And, like Reed, I'd just like to kind of add to what Dee was saying as well, is that there's no magic formula for protecting yourself against the negativity of others. Like, gone are the days where we had magic wands and we could just weave an imaginary force field around ourselves. But it's choice, you know. Like, I read a beautiful book by Don Miguel Ruiz about a year ago called The Four Agreements.
Yes, yes.
And Dee, I know that you're a fan of this book too. And one of the four agreements is don't take anything personally. And when I realized that, it changed everything for me, because I am a very fearful person. And fear has held me back a lot. And one of the biggest fears that's held me back was the fear of judgment, you know, the fear of having to receive other people's opinions if and when I became successful. It was just too much for me to handle. And then I read the Four Agreements and realized I had a choice to not take things personally. So now I don't, you know, I choose to absorb the love and the positivity that comes my way. And I'm very grateful when I do receive that. But if somebody tries to vie for my energy like a vampire and tries to drain me of my energy and my resources and the love that I have to give by being a naysayer, I'm just like, okay, cool, that's actually your stuff, not mine, and I'm not going to absorb it, you know. I'm sorry that you're in so much pain and suffering yourself that you then choose to inflict that upon other people, but I can't actually change that for you. That's something that you have to heal. And, you know, I'm not going to be your punch bag, your emotional punch bag. And I think also seeing, realizing, understanding where people's naysaying comes from as well also really helps you to not absorb it. You know, people are negative and naysaying because they themselves are in a lot of pain and suffering. And when you start to see things that way as well, it not only helps you to not absorb their negativity, but it also helps you to be a lot more compassionate towards them and where they are, and not react to them with negativity or, you know, or hatred or whatever, because hate breeds hate, you know. When someone comes at us with negativity, in my experience, the best way to remedy that or to prevent it is just to try to kind of like react with love. And another of the four agreements is that always do your best, you know, and there are going to be moments where your reaction is going to be like, oh, fuck you, you know? And if that's the best that you can muster at that time, that's also okay. It goes back to learning to love yourself. And then, you know, your best at other times may be like, hey, you know, like, I'm sorry you feel that way. If you'd like to talk a little bit about what you've got going on, I'm here, you know, to bend a listening ear. But, you know, just know that I'm not going to absorb your stuff. And if that's your best on another day, cool, brilliant, you know. You may have been able to plant the seeds in that person's consciousness to then help them evolve. But, yeah, it's a choice. Yeah, protecting yourself from negativity is a choice that we have to make. So, yeah, I hope that helps.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Of course.
Okay. So you said you started that whole thing off with a statement, I am a very fearful person. And I just want to say this, you used to be a very fearful person.
That's not correct, yes.
Who you are now is a very fearless person. And the reason I want to say that is this is something that I work with when I work with clients and musicians and other folks in a life coaching, business coaching way. Mm-hmm. Spending time every day telling yourself who you are is one of the most profound things you can do to change who you are, to give yourself a different reality.
That's very true.
And when you say, I am, you are identifying your state of being and you are identifying your identity. And so I do an I am statement mantra every day. And my I ams are, I am love.
I love it.
I am peace. Because you can be peace. It's not just a feeling. It's mm-hmm. a real thing. Yeah. I am prosperous. I am successful. I am whole. I am solid. I am sought out. I am influential. I am captivating. I am beautiful. I mean, these are, and all these things are the antithesis of what I used to tell myself all the time.
Yeah.
And so the more, and I operated out of a lot of insecurity and a lot of fear for a lot of years because I kept telling myself all the negative stuff that I thought was true, that I felt, and that I thought other people felt and saw me, but I was just projecting that onto them. They didn't really feel that way. When I would have conversations with them, they're like, dude, I don't see you as that. Yeah. I see you as this really cool guy that's doing a lot of really cool things. And I'm like, that's not how I see myself. I'm surprised you don't see me the way that I do.
Yeah.
You've got to, so when you feel fearful, you are not fearful. You just feel fearful. And so I'm saying all this as a very big picture thing, like all of you guys, dreamers, dream of who you want to be and be that and identify with that. When you say I am, make sure that whatever's on the other side of that I am is what you want. Not something you're afraid of, not something you've experienced, not something that is damaging or harmful or hurtful or something that makes you tense, something that makes you angry, something that makes you longing. Who you are is who you are. That's love. And make sure that everything that comes from that statement, it has love attached to it.
Yeah. Thank you.
I just had to interject that in there real fast.
Yeah, thank you. I actually need to remind myself of that daily. I'm going to copy your affirmations actually, because they're so beautiful.
I can send you some of the stuff that I do for myself, and that I advise my clients to and everybody needs to have their own, so that it's very personal to you. I think if we have some sort of standard, like we're all copying off of each other, it's not quite as personal. But like if you decide, especially as a musician, that you decide you want to be the best keyboard player in your state or in your country, then I am the best damn keyboard player in my country.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You might think, well, but I'm not the best damn keyboard player in my country. Okay. Well, the more you tell yourself that, you're putting in your subconscious mind this truth, and your mind will tell the rest of you to take action to make that true.
Mm.
You won't be able to just, if you're focused on it and you're intentional, that's a big thing that we haven't really talked about yet. But if your intention is to be what you say and to do what you say, you will find yourself doing things that make that true. Yeah. And you will evolve and change and become the person that you're telling yourself you are.
Yeah.
You'll increase in your confidence. You'll increase in your skills. You'll take active actions on improving the things that you want to improve upon, because you're constantly reaffirming to yourself, this is who I want to be, and this is who I am. And then that becomes a reality. It's not a magic wand thing, like Liz was saying a second ago. You don't just suddenly twinkle bells and glitter and stuff just show up in like a Disney story, like you spin around three times and suddenly that's who you are. But internally, your mind and your heart is like, okay, this is who I am. So since this is who I am, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm.
And then those actions repeated over sometimes a short time, sometimes a long time, the more you do, the better you get. You get good at what we do. You become what it is that you tell yourself you are.
So true. It's so true. Your thoughts shape your reality.
Yes.
And I think, I'm a very spiritual person, so I believe that your thoughts kind of almost send this signal out to the universe, and then the universe just kind of mirrors that back to you. So like you're saying, if you're saying to yourself, I am the best keyboard in my country, I am the best keyboard in my country, and you really are committed to making that happen, serendipity, providence, however you want to label it, it just steps in and miracles actually start happening. Doors start opening that you didn't even realize were there. And, you have to put in the hours. You have to work. Like, if you want to be the best keyboard player in your country, you have to be sat at your piano for 8 hours a day practicing. There's no doubt about that. But because you're thinking those thoughts, it's then spurring you on, to make the 8 hours a day to practice. And through that commitment, then like the providence and the serendipity then starts to kick in. And it's a miraculous and mysterious set of circumstances or set of events that take place that really do make your thoughts your reality. It's one of those beautiful mysteries of life that I've come to learn over the years.
When you align yourself with love, and I'm a very spiritual person too, not very religious, but I believe that God is love, and that it's almighty force that creates everything is all love, and it's all good. When you align yourself with that force, that loving goodness, then the more solid your connection, the more solid things start happening for you. Yeah. And things that you thought were just fantasy or just fiction or something that somebody else gets to experience. No, suddenly you find yourself surrounded by people that are helping you get to where it is you want to go. Wayne Dyer says, dormant forces come alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you find yourself suddenly surrounded by people that you didn't know existed before, but they have the skills to be able to do things that you can't, because we never do anything alone.
Yeah.
We were put here to be amongst people, And I was given a skill set that I'm really good at, but there's a lot of things I'm not really good at. And I'm glad that I'm not really good at everything, because that means that I need to, one of my gifts is relationship building. So I get to do the thing that I'm good at and build relationships with people that are good at things that I'm not good at, so that I'm not relying entirely on myself. Mm-hmm. And all of us have that opportunity, which is why for ourselves to be people that operate out of love instead of operating out of fear, it makes us more attractive to the right people to help us get to where we want to go.
Yeah, you become like an antenna.
Yeah, relationship building is still a big part of all of this transformational process. But we get better at building relationships with people when we love ourselves the most.
Yeah, so true.
When we're trying to build relationships with people, but we have this very negative self-belief, or we think the and actually the way that you see the world is the way you see yourself. So if you have a negative self-belief, you also believe negative things about other people. Mm-hmm. You believe that people are going to reject you and they don't want what you have to offer, and they're not going to be interested in who you are, and they're not going to join you in your work, or they're not going to be supportive of your work, and you're just talking to a bunch of, you know, people that aren't really paying attention. Like, all these negative beliefs all come from the way you see yourself. When you the way you see yourself changes, then you find that the people that you're talking to, they care more about you, because like, you've changed. We all want to be around people that are fairly confident. I say confident, not arrogant. We want to be around people that are confident, that are strong inwardly, that have a lot of faith, that have a lot of love, that have a lot of hope, that make us feel good. When you're around people that you feel good around, like, you want to be around them more, and you will find yourself, whether you're conscious of it or not, wanting to support what they do, because being in their presence and knowing them makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. And this is why Patreon works. And I know that's something we're going to talk about here in a second with Liz, but mm-hmm. It's why Patreon works. It's why Pledge Music works. It's why crowdfunding exists at all. It's why nonprofit organizations all over the U.S. have been successful, even though they're nonprofit, for the last 50 years or more, because people that work and do these things and help make other people's lives better, it makes you feel good to be a part of that work. Yeah. And so you invest in that, and you do it not only because you feel this empathy towards others and you want a sense of charity and a sense of giving and a sense of contributing to somebody else, but it feels good to be a part of something that's making a difference. And the difference that us as artists make in the lives of other people, the more that we own the difference that we make because we believe in ourselves, the easier it is and the more attractive we are to the right people to help us make that happen.
So true. So true. Actually, now would be probably a nice time to move on to Zabizo's question.
Okay.
He says he'd like to learn how to get over feelings of self-doubt and learn how to build more self-confidence. He says he knows what he wants and he has some knowledge on how to implement his vision, but self-doubt has always been a major setback for him over the years due to failing and trying again.
Okay. In a way, this kind of goes back to Reed's question.
Yeah.
Which is, what voices are you going to listen to? Yeah. Now, all of us, myself included, all of us have an inner critic that sits on one of our shoulders and tells us who we're not, and that we didn't do something right, or we didn't do this thing perfect, or you said you were going to do this thing and you didn't do it, or that could have been so much better, or, oh, you really suck at this thing, or whatever. My inner critic used to be the most prominent voice in my life, more prominent than the voice of love that would speak to me on occasion and say, you know, encouraging, loving things. My inner critic used to bully the living shit out of me.
Mine too.
And I let it. Because I thought, well, that's my brain telling me what's really real, and I have to listen to it because it must be telling me the truth. Or I sometimes thought, well, that must be the way God sees me. And it wasn't until I had some really good teachers and really good mentors that showed me that the inner critic is the inner critic. And all it is doubtful, and all it is negative, and all it is fearful, and all it is saying things and repeating things to tear you down. But that's not you. It's also not God, because God is love, and love builds, love affirms, love makes better, love creates life. Negativity doesn't create life, it destroys it. So a voice that is negative can't come from a voice that is love. Those two things are not synonymous with each other. They're like polar. They're like, you know, the opposite ends of magnets. You can't stick that together. It's going to repel each other. You have to decide what voice you're going to listen to. Now, if you say you've got confidence and you know what it is that you want, you have to stick to the confidence and stick to what it is that you want. And I don't know about you, man, but if you've ever been bullied before, and I've been bullied a lot, I'm a kind of small frame dude. At some point, you have to decide whether or not you're going to be bullied or whether or not you're going to be you. And being you might mean that you put yourself in a firing line in certain terms. But you stand up for yourself and you're not going to get pushed around anymore. And if that means you get beat up, fine. But getting beat up is better than being bullied. But it's an inner decision that you make. Now, when the bully is an inner bully, that's a little bit easier to handle, because you can decide to empower yourself and strengthen yourself and say, fuck you, I'm not that. This is who I am. I am strong. I am solid. I am determined. I am successful. I am committed. I am whole. I am sought out. I am somebody that people want to connect with. I am a fucking awesome musician. I make the best music. I am a musician and a creator and a talent that people love. People from all over the world are drawn to me because they love what I do. And you repeat this stuff over and over again and shout it out loud if you have to. I've shouted my mantras out loud, and I've told my inner bully to fuck off, and I'm not listening to it. Yeah. And if it wants to try to do something, it can step to me, because I'm going to go through it.
Yeah.
And this is me getting really passionate, because I hate bullies. And I also I also hate negativity. I love love. Mm. And I love empowerment. That's one of my love languages. So, man, I want to encourage you, empower and love yourself. And when that inner voice comes up, if you need to step into another room so that other people don't think that you're talking to them, but you'd be like, listen to me, you little bitch. I'm not listening to you anymore. You're going to shut the hell up right now. The only thing I will listen to is love and encouragement and empowerment, because that is who I am. But you have to shut up and be silent, because you have no power here.
Yeah.
Now, I've done that in my personal life, and that inner voice has been muted for weeks at a time. Weeks. To where I was like, you know, I've felt really good for the longest time. Why have I not had any bad? Oh, that voice isn't around anymore. I'm glad that voice just decided to take a hike, because screw that thing, man. I want to be around stuff that makes me feel good.
Mm.
Which is also why the people that you hang out with matter. Because if their negativity and their inner critic that's always blasting in their ears and telling them what they can't do and what's not real and how other people suck comes out and that atmosphere impacts you, then suddenly the inner negative voice in their head or sitting on their shoulders like, oh, I think I'll jump over here to this guy and bother him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to protect yourself against that.
Mm.
So in the same ways that you probably would not allow somebody to, like, you know, come up to you on the bus and be like, hey man, you better give me your money. You're like, dude, you better piss off unless you want to walk away with a couple less teeth than you got now. Like, you got to let that stuff rise up in you and love yourself enough to defend yourself against the negativity that wants to take away your heart. Yeah. Don't let anything take away your heart. Don't let anything take away your love. But yeah, that's how you have the self-confidence. The more that you affirm yourself, the more confident that you will be. The more that you surround yourself with people that affirm you, the more confident that you will be. And the more confident that you'll more confidence you'll give to other people, because confidence is, we live in an attraction universe. This is kind of a, you know, a metaphysical self-help sort of thing, but it's a quantum physics reality. Spending your time looking up quantum physics, we're living in a attraction universe. So what you believe about yourself is what you attract. If that's negative, you're going to attract negative people. If it's positive, you're going to attract positive people. One thing that you'll find, and I think this kind of goes back to Reed's question too, but if you find yourself surrounded by people who are constantly complaining and blaming and finger pointing and arguing and they're negative and nothing's ever right and everybody else is always screwed up and nobody loves me and all this kind of negative crap, but when you adopt a positive and affirming mantra about the way that you are, you will find those people run away from you. Because in an attraction universe, you attract what is like you, which also means you repel what is not like you. And this is also, this is how you also deal with that inner critic. The more that you love and affirm yourself, the more that negative inner critic doesn't have anything to say. But you, when you feed the dragon will bite. And if you feed the dragon inside of you more of the negative stuff and you agree with it, when it spits its fire, it spits its fire all over you and it hurts. And then it causes you to shrivel up and it causes you to pull away from people and it causes you to operate differently from a way that, that actually helps you and heals you and makes you more attractive in terms of engagement and camaraderie and relationship building and joint collectiveness, collaboration, support. So love yourself, edify yourself, and stand up for yourself against the inner bully that's picking on you. And then... Man, here's something I want to challenge all the dreamers with. If every single one of you will do this for at least a week, you'll find your attitude and your heart, the way you feel about yourself, what you feel about other people, change. It's a simple mantra. It is first, I believe in me. Don't let anybody ever tell you otherwise. I believe in me. The more you believe, this is something that our mutual friend and member of the Daydreamers Club, my one of my close friends, Steve Palfreyman, told me this about 4 years ago. He said, "The more you back yourself, the faster you'll get there." And what he was saying is, the more you believe in yourself, the faster you'll get to where it is that you want to go. The more, the faster you'll become the person that you want to be. And it's entirely true. So if you will start every day, first thing in the morning, say three things. I believe in me, I am love, and I love myself. If you'll just do those three things every single day when you start the day, and say it one more time as you lay down to go to sleep, so that you've got in between that, your life experience, you've got this sandwich. And everything between that has got to fit within the I believe in me, I love myself, I am love. Your life and your heart and your relationships and your inner dialogue, your belief system, everything will change. You'll find opportunities open up for you that you never thought possible. You didn't ask for. You're like, how did this happen? Well, you changed your attitude.
Yeah.
You changed your mindset. You changed your world. And suddenly, dormant forces came alive.
Yeah. Totally. It's, I think we touched on it for a second there, is the fact that when you focus on the fear, it manifests. And you know, before you know it, you found yourself in this downward cycle. And that's maintained purely because you're choosing to buy into the wrong focus and you're choosing to adopt the wrong mindset. And sometimes it, like, I get it. Sometimes it feels like we don't have a choice. Sometimes it feels like that voice inside our head that's telling us that we are worthless and, you know, that's telling us, no, you don't have what it takes to do this. it can feel like it's impossible to ignore, and it can feel like it's impossible to stand up to. But trust me, you do have the choice, and you have to just be stubborn. You know, just put your foot down and just choose to not listen to it. Like Dee said, you know, just tell it to take a hike. And if that involves using profanities, use profanities.
You know? Sorry, I used quite a bit. I hope that's okay.
It's totally fine. It's totally fine. I've had to get seriously angry with the various fearful voices in my head that have tried to stop me from launching the Patreon page. Mm. And I can tell you that the only way with fear is to just barge through it like a bull through a china shop. You know, just go through it. And the more you keep going through your fear, the more courageous you will become, and the less that voice of fear will speak to you, because you're proving to it that it doesn't have a chance when it comes to you. And it's just like, you know, learning how to DJ, which is what I know Zebizo is doing, or learning how to be a music producer, or learning how to ride a bike. You know, like the first time you get on a bike, I learned how to ride a bike when I was 27 years old. Mm. And like, damn, it hurt when I fell off, you know, and I've still got the scars on my knees now. But I kept persisting, you know, and I was really fearful of learning how to ride and fearful of getting on the road. I learned in London. And within about 2 or 3 years of me learning how to ride that bike, my bike became my first and literally only mode of transport. I would cycle everywhere around London. Getting buses and tubes were a thing of the past. But the point I'm making is you have to practice. And, you know, like to perfect anything, we're not shooting for perfection, but to become proficient at anything, we have to do it every single day. And, you know, when it comes to conditioning our minds and adopting the right mindset, even more so, you know, like it's every single second of every single day, because, damn, we have something like 80,000 thoughts in a day, I think, probably more. Mm. And, you know, a lot of that, I think it's a scarily large percentage, like 85% of those thoughts are negative. And so, you know, like it's literally with each breath, we just have to assert our will and choose to say no to the negative thoughts and yes to the positive thoughts. And like cultivating a garden, like growing a garden, you pull out the weeds and you cultivate the stuff that you want to grow. You put your attention and your love into the stuff that you want to grow. And it's the same with your thoughts. It's the same with, you know, conditioning your mind. You keep putting your time and your attention and your love into cultivating a positive mindset. Before you know it, you'll be like, oh my God, I remember the day when I let fear hold me back from everything. And it will seem like one day you'll look back and it'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe I used to be that person, because now I'm so confident and so full of love. And I have a very strong belief that it's our obligation to change the way we think, because by becoming a more love-centered person, you're actually totally changing the energy that you emit out into the world. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're like facilitating healing on a global scale, because mm-hmm. you're changing your frequency. And we have to do this. It's essential. It's our responsibility as human beings, as creations of God, love, the universe, whatever you choose to believe in. It's our responsibility to be these beacons of love, because we've got this, you know, I believe everyone inside Daydream Believers has this belief that, you know, there is a lot more to life than just the humdrum. So we've got this natural curiosity within us to want to become the person we want to be. And the way we do that is choosing love, you know, and choosing to put those negative thoughts at rest. And in doing so, we are we're putting out so much more positivity into the world for other people as well. And I know that that's one of the biggest things that drives me in choosing to stand up to the negative thoughts in my head is like, wait, I'm not serving anybody by buying into the negative thoughts inside my head. I can serve a whole load more people by choosing to instill within my mind loving, uplifting, empowering thoughts. And you'll find as well that as you change your mindset and you gain the strength to challenge the negative voices inside your head, that you will also be able to stand up for yourself in situations with another person mm-hmm. where they might be wanting to drop negativity onto you, or they might not even be consciously aware of the fact that they want to drop negativity onto you, but they're doing it anyway. You'll be able to just really gently and from a place of love, correct them. Mm. And in doing so, you're then planting the seed inside their mind to enable them to change. And that's happened to me in the situation that I'm in right now with my dad. And so like I'm speaking from experience when I say that, and you just can't underestimate the profundity of the impact that you make upon that person when you choose love, when you choose to say no to the negative voices in your head. It has such a massive ripple effect out into the world. So I hope that helps.
So I'm so honored and proud of the fact that you brought up gardening. Because I didn't want to insert too much of my personal brand into this conversation, but growth farming is my brand, and it's the way that it's a method of building relationships with other people, but it starts with you. And I have this belief that what you plant inside your mind and your heart, it's everything we've been talking about. What you plant inside your mind and your heart with your thoughts and your attitudes and your beliefs is what your life will produce.
Yep.
And so you've got to make sure that what you're planting inside of you, what Liz said, what you're cultivating and what you're nurturing and what you're feeding inside of you is what you want. And you've got to take the proactive steps of removing the weeds and the thorns and the briars and the other things that are not working towards you having a whole, healthy, awesome garden inside yourself. Mm. And when you plant love and you cultivate love and you water and you feed and you nurture love inside of you, your life will produce that. Mm. And it will create fruits that other people are drawn to. And then you can plant those fruits, and you can plant seeds of relationships with other people that produce fruits that benefit you for years and years and years to come. Yeah. And it all comes down, but it all starts with your own personal heart garden. So what are you planting in there, and how does your garden grow? And only you know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to grow a better garden, I think you're in a really good place being in this group, because this is stuff that all of us talk about here. But these are questions to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, going back to what we first talked about, who do you want to be? Okay, be that person. How do you want your inner garden of your heart to look? What seeds do you want in there? What fruits and what crops do you want to produce with your life? Okay, we'll plant that stuff, and anything that's not that, you got to take it out. Mm-hmm. And who are you going to garden with? That's your inner circle of people. That's the people in your networks. That's the people whose voices you're listening to, that you're kind of allowing them to garden with you. Who are those people? Are they cultivating goodness? Are they cultivating love? Are they cultivating things that you want to have? Because if they're not, then you need to kind of get them out of your garden. Yeah. Because it's going to impact the way things grow. Yeah. Or it might impact whether or not they grow at all, and they might die. And if you've got things you want to live, but you've got people in there that are better at creating death than are creating life, then you got to get the death creators and the death makers away from the things that you value and matter to you, because you want life. Mm. And that metaphor can be talked about in a variety of different ways, but I hope that both of us have been able to convey to you some very powerful truths and change some of the ways that you're able to see yourself, the way you're able to see other people, and the way you're able to see your future. And you can have the life that you want. You can attract the people to you to help make that happen. But it all starts with what you plant inside yourself and how you see yourself and who you decide to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And Zabizo, I just wanted to kind of quickly address, you mentioned failing and trying again. Failure is just learning how to not do something. Like, you're not shooting for perfection. You're just taking steps to move forward. And, you know, with my Patreon launch, I'm not shooting for perfection. I'm getting things as organized as I can so that it goes as smoothly as possible. But I used to be a perfectionist. I used to have everything just so, because otherwise I can't get it out there. And I, you know, like, let that go. You learn by making mistakes. And I really believe that, you know, the Wright brothers who invented flying, they didn't get it right the first time, but they just kept trying until they did get it right. And the only way that they learned how not to do something was by making the mistake. So don't be afraid of making a mistake. Don't be afraid of failing. Failure is just learning how not to do it. So it's just a lesson. It's another lesson.
Hey, Abizo, on that subject too. So I've got to be where I am from failing. Like, I'm a syndicated radio host, which means my radio show is heard all over the U.S. I failed the first like 20 times I tried to contact radio stations to pick me up. And somebody had told me that what I had was good enough to get heard all over the world. And then I tried to do that and I kept failing. And I was like, what? Either this guy's wrong and he lied to me, or these people don't know what it is that they're missing out on. But I could have stopped my efforts right there, but instead what it made me do is it made me look at what I was actually doing and decide, okay, maybe my method is off. So how can I improve my method to get the things that I want? And if you're experiencing failure, I'd be interested in knowing what you're experiencing failure in, or what you're really working really hard towards that you're not succeeding in. And man, I'd love to talk with you about how, if anything I can do to help you get on the other side of that. But my guess is it probably has to do with a method of some kind. And sometimes when we try something, it's not the trying that's not working, it's the way that we're trying. And if we can look at the way that we do things and say, okay, well, there must be something kind of like in a gearbox. There must be some gear in here that's not spinning the way that it's supposed to, or maybe something that's broken. So what can I do to fix this? And then you make one little adjustment and suddenly everything comes together. But to be honest with you, I learned how to build relationships with people and become awesome at what I do now by screwing it up a whole bunch early on. So the relationship growth farmer that you're looking at right now, I got to be here by screwing up a whole lot. And if I had been successful at doing the things that I was doing early on, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today, man. Because I would have a different mindset, and I would be another one of these people that just send a bunch of spam out to everybody and then get mad why they don't read it. Mm. I would be a part of the problem. But because I failed early on, I became a part of the solution. And so I'm saying all that to say that I know that trying something and it not working the way that you want it to is a frustrating experience, but there's all kinds of good things that come out of it not working out sometimes.
Absolutely.
Because it makes you better at who you are. It makes you better at what you do. It helps to refine your energies, help to refine your processes, help to refine your methods, and make you sharper because you're more specific. You're looking at more details and you're more committed to the process. And everything is a process. There is no like app for success. Don't let anybody sell you on that crap. There's no thing that you can download on your phone that suddenly, like, when you access the app, everything you want is going to work out and be perfect.
If only.
I mean, iPhone can't even make a perfect iPhone.
Exactly. You know?
Apple can't make a perfect computer. And if you're a non-Apple fan, you're like, yeah, all the Apples suck. But no, you know what I'm saying? Tesla hasn't made a perfect car. They've gotten pretty damn close, but they haven't made a perfect car. There's still problems with the Tesla. There is no technological solution to being perfect and having everything work out the first time. Nothing is designed that way because it can't, and it shouldn't. The best things that can happen is for stuff to not work out so that we can get better and better and better and better and better and better and better.
That's how we grow.
Okay, boxing metaphor. I'm a huge boxing fan. Best boxer of modern day, Floyd Mayweather. Yeah, nobody's ever knocked that guy out, but that doesn't mean he hasn't gotten rocked. That doesn't mean somebody hasn't gotten through and jacked him up to where like his knees buckle and his face gets knocked back and like, oh, the tide's going to turn now. Somebody's finally going to do it. He sometimes would put himself in positions where he knew he was going to get punched harder than he'd ever been punched before, but he wanted to go through that to see what he could do to see if he was really as tough as he thought he was. And that was part of the process for him to become the best. To never be somebody that got knocked out.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to go through difficulties, and sometimes we need to go through things where like we get rocked a little bit and we get tossed around a little bit and everything doesn't look always perfect and it's not flowing the right way, so that we can be tested and to see how strong and how solvent we are, but also to see what could be fixed, what could be improved upon. Mm-hmm. And this is something that all of us are always working on. And man, I'm saying all this to say, it's taken me a long time to say it, but I'm saying all this to encourage you that embrace the process, embrace the mistakes, embrace the things that don't work. Celebrate that. Not just because you've learned something that doesn't work, but in the process of learning that, you've become better inherently. And we always want to be getting better. When everything's always working and it's always firing on all cylinders, you're not operating at your optimum because you're not doing anything to improve.
Exactly.
And you get lazy and then you get complacent and then when suddenly something doesn't work out right, you start blaming other people because you weren't working on yourself to get better.
Yeah. We're here to learn.
So
we've just got to accept the lessons that life throws at us, because it's throwing them at us for very good reasons. Reasons that we might not necessarily be able to see. But life, I really believe that life gives us what we need, even if it might not necessarily be what we want.
Or look like what we think it's going to look like.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Dee, I'm conscious of the time. I feel like we could go on talking for hours, but I know that you've got other things to do. So, can you let the dreamers know where to find you? And dreamers, please do take Dee's offer up on contacting him, because he, as I'm sure you've seen, is a magical and very big-hearted person.
Well, thank you.
He has a lot of good advice to give.
So every week I send an encouraging email out to a group of people that are connected to me. You can become one of the people that I send encouraging. It's not just encouragement. Sometimes it's practical tips, and I share a lot of stories. I'm a very metaphorical person and like to paint pictures with stories so that you can see your situations and opportunities a little bit different. That's one of the ways that I teach is through storytelling. But if you'd like to be somebody that feels encouraged and also has some more insights into how to build your personal and your professional work, you can connect with me at dgrantsmith.com. There's a little tab there that says growth farming newsletter, and you can put your email address in that. I promise I don't spam. If you spend any amount of time with me, you know that spam's not what I do.
Yeah.
Another thing, and I'll just go ahead if I've said anything here that's made you go, yeah, I want to figure out how to do more of that, whether that's personal affirmations or getting out of a negative environment or getting past a negative inner critic or figuring out how to just love yourself more, if that's something that you're like, yes, all this stuff makes sense, but I need to know how to apply it to my life, contact me and let's have a conversation about that. I'm very serious about helping people become the best versions of themselves and become living embodiments of greatness and love. And you can do that. My email address is very simple. dgrant, D-G-R-A-N-T, at dgrantsmith.com. And just send me an email and mention that you saw this Daydreamers video so that I've got a little bit of a reference point. And I'll also, if you put that in the subject line, I'll make sure that I see it and it's not something that I ignore for a later time. But let's have a conversation and let's sit down and if we can have a video chat or something like that and get to know each other better. But I want to be in your corner and help you get on the other side of fear, on the other side of negativity. And something that we didn't talk about, but this is going to be something that's a very big part of the book that I mentioned early on. It's going to be coming out later this year. If you've gone through personal loss, maybe you've lost somebody in your family that you were really close to by death, or maybe you were in a relationship with someone and that relationship ended out of nowhere and it's caused you heartbreak and it's caused you to question yourself and tell yourself that you're not good enough. And maybe it's reaffirmed all these very heartfelt but negative feelings about yourself. Man, let's totally talk. Because that's the hell that I went through last year. And getting on the other side of personal loss and not letting loss impact or destroy who you are and who you can become, man, that's a very important thing. So let's have a conversation. I want to help you get to the other side of that. I want to help you be healed and whole and fully alive and fully in love with yourself, in love with the people in your world, and in love with what it is that you're put here to do.
Beautiful. Dee, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz. Like that, what you've built with the Daydream Believers is a very, very beautiful thing. It's a very powerful thing. And you inspire me to be a better version of myself. So thank you for everything that you do.
Oh, that means so much. You're so welcome. And it's my pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening. It's my pleasure to be able to bring you guests who are experts in their field to help you continue walking the path of your dreams. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'd love to know what you thought of it. So please do remember to subscribe in iTunes and give us a little rate and review. If the show resonated with you, please share it with someone you think would benefit from it. If you have a question or a topic you'd like answered on the podcast, head to lizcirelli.com/contact and pop me a message. If you'd like to join my coaching community, Daydream Believers, and connect with me on a deeper level, you can become a patron. Just head to patreon.com/lizcirelli, where you can sign up quickly and easily. As a patron, you'll get access to the full range of my coaching packages, plus you'll get exclusive early access to all of my musical output.